Are you ready to step into your power? If so, I want to tell you about my brand new one-to-one mentorship program, Powerhouse. Power stands for productivity, organization, wealth, energy, and relationships. The five things that I teach my clients to help them step into their fullest potential. So if you are tired of playing small, ready for change, and want to excel in these five areas, go to jenniferfordberry.com and sign up for a free application call to see if you are ready to be a powerhouse. Hello, and welcome to the Make Room Show, formerly titled The 29-Minute Mom. I am your host, Jennifer Ford Berry, certified professional organizer, author, and coach. I've spent the last two decades teaching women how to get organized so that they can free up more space, time, energy, and money. This podcast is for the woman who wants to make room in her home and in her life for the people and the things that matter the most. I believe it is possible to make room for anything in your life when you do two things. Remove the clutter that is holding you back and be intentional about the time you have been given. Each week, I'm bringing you episodes that will help you feel less overwhelmed and more inspired to create the life that you deserve. So come on, girl, let's do this together. Hey there, family. Thanks for joining me for another episode of the Make Room Show. And I'm so excited to have my guest today, Ginger Myers. She is a life coach. She is the founder of Ambassador Vision. She's a wife. She's a mom. She is a powerhouse. And I am so happy to have you here today. So welcome to the Make Room Show, Ginger.
Oh, Jennifer, thank you so much. I'm excited to be on your show. I love what you teach here, the decluttering. I can just absorb that all day. I need it.
Everybody needs to declutter, right?
Yes.
So this is fun for me because we met back in September at our live event that I hosted with Lori Beth, Amy, and Becky with called the Focus Retreat, and it was in Kentucky. And so I remember just like there was a light about you when I met you, and it was so you had this like light, but you also had this like deep confidence, which I really admire. And so I remember meeting you on the dock at Amy's house at the VIP night. And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that you actually were living in Tampa, right? At the time. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all know if you listen to the show that half of my heart is always in Tampa. And so, but you've since moved. So this is very exciting. So tell us a little bit about that because you've been in transition.
You've been in transition. Yes. We've moved twice in the recent year. And, I've been doing a lot of really deep decluttering. moving makes you do that, but God has been so gracious, just providing people and pathways. And we did not see this coming. It was a major life pivot for my husband with his work. And, so that just created like, okay, this is what we're doing now. And so we've uprooted, we've met lots of neat people. We've really enjoyed the east side of Tennessee, getting to know the mountains, and we're a great outdoors family. So we do a lot of hiking and fishing and all that. So it's been fun.
Yes. And I mean, just, it's gotta be so different for you though, to go from Tampa to Tennessee, because I lived in North Carolina, which I feel like Tennessee and North Carolina are very similar. And yes. I had come from Florida, and I don't know if you've had any moments of like, what am I doing here? But I remember when I lived in North Carolina, I went from South Florida to Lincolnton, North Carolina. I don't know if you've ever even heard of this place. It's outside of Charlotte. And this is the summer I got engaged to Josh, and we were living with his aunt and uncle in this small town in North Carolina, and everybody had this thick accent and they were very slow. And being from New York, I don't consider myself to be a slow person at all. Right. And I remember sitting out on the porch at night and I was like, I kind of feel like we're the Clampets. Like we're all living together. Right. We had like, actually, to make the story even weirder, is his grandparents lived in his aunt and uncle's in-law apartment. So literally it was like three generations together, and we had to live there for a month until we like could afford our own place. And I kept calling my friends in Florida and I was like, what was I thinking? What did I do? I don't know if I can do this. And it was so funny, but again, like you probably feel right now, you have, the exciting part is you have no idea what God has in store for you.
Right.
And sometimes you don't even know why you're there yet. You're like, you can't see the big picture. So have you had any moments, what, you know, of just like, God, what am I doing here? Have you felt like that at all? Or have you just been like, this is awesome?
Oh, I wouldn't go as far as this is awesome. it's been, what I can say for sure is we know that God led us here, which we didn't know when he started the upheaval process 3 years ago. It's a super long story, but we started going through some life change, and it had to do with my husband's job and then just kind of an uprooting. He'd been in Florida all his life.
Okay.
So this was big. So then going through that with my husband was a real process. He will be the first to tell you that we had a lot of life coaching going on in our house.
Which all of us coaches do, don't we? We're right. Like constantly trying to apply it.
Yes. So myself, but really with him, he was open to it, but it was so big. And then we realized that where we were actually wasn't going to be where we were going to stay. So we were moving on. And so it was just the idea of kind of being open to what was supposed to be next, praying it through, just watching, just keeping our eyes open and just trying to stay together as a family to say, okay, we're in this for the long haul. Where are we going next? And I would definitely say we had the winds of change. And how am I feeling about it? I do feel excited because I feel like the Lord has shown me that it's about the people, and he has friends everywhere. He's got people everywhere. And as I'm meeting new people and just, and maintaining some of the friendships, but you know, as you move, friendships ebb and flow, because if you don't cross paths, it's hard to stay in touch with some people. We're busy moms and working, and just maintaining a house is busy. So
yes.
So it's important to just keep it light with those people that you've had to release, so that when they do come back into your life, it's like you haven't missed a beat.
Mm-hmm. Keeping it light. I like your choice of words when it comes to friendship. Friendship is something I think about a lot, to be honest with you. I just built that way, and I love meeting new people, and I love expanding my friend group, and I love keeping old friends, but I make it a priority. I look at friendship literally like my marriage, that it takes two to keep it going, and it takes commitment, and it takes planning and effort. So I think that's really something that I've had to learn over the years, is sometimes you do have to keep some friendships light, because it does change and it doesn't always look the same. One of the things I think was really interesting about the focus retreat is that every person came solo. Nobody came with a bestie. Nobody came with a sister or a sister-in-law. That kind of shocked me. And so you throw all these different personalities, people from all over the country, in to the same group, and you're like, okay, everybody, we're going to hang out for 3 days straight, and we're going to be together every minute practically. And it was so funny because I loved watching the women navigate that. Mm-hmm. So tell me, when you were planning to go to an event like that solo, where was your head at? What were you thinking that was going to happen compared to what you experienced?
I'm glad you brought that up. For me, it was fairly spontaneous. I had seen it, but wasn't really thinking it was going to work for me, because our life was in such transition. I couldn't commit far ahead because mm-hmm. I didn't know where we were going to be, mm-hmm. quite literally. And so when I did get to commit to it, it was like, okay, this is great. It's going to be for me, because I need this. Mm-hmm. I need to get away and refresh. And the venue was fantastic for that. Just so peaceful and quiet. And yet the friendships that I made there were really, you know, energizing. And that was fun to be able to connect. And I feel like I was almost like adult camp. I came away with friendships that I met at camp.
Yeah.
And I want to maintain. And I love that we were from all areas of the country. And we had lots of unique backgrounds of what we were doing. But it made it so interesting. And I think, that going solo to something like that leaves you available to welcome new people into your life. Whereas if you go with someone that you're just like hanging onto as a security blanket, you may not be ready to accept what God has for you, what new people might speak into your life. So that's what I think I appreciated about that.
That's so true and such a good point. So I am just thinking about the fact that when you also go with somebody else, they sometimes make you feel like you have to do what they want to do. And, or you're kind of, if somebody even has a little bit of anxiety or discomfort, it's almost like you have to take care of them and nurture them. And that takes away from nurturing yourself, because that's what good friends do, right? So you might be over here being like, okay, you don't want to go do this, you know, event, but I really feel like I should go. You might miss something that God has in store for you because you're with somebody else. But it takes bravery and it takes boldness, I think, to really go towards an event completely by yourself. And I think that boldness is part of this walk as coaches, in which case most people that were there were coaches or at least entrepreneurs. So with that type of boldness, when you are coming to an event, I think it really showed the common thread between all of us that we're willing to be brave and bold, but also vulnerable, because showing up to a setting like that, you have no idea what's in store and you don't know if everybody else is coming with their bestie. So I think that's just, that blew me away with just the bravery. But tell me about, because I know as for you as a life coach, you're really committed to helping women kind of step into their own purpose or assignment. I think that's one thing that we both have in common, is we're trying to get people to really see the bigger picture of being here on this earth. I feel like that we're all sent here with a specific, unique set of skills and personality and gifts, but sometimes we're not bold because we are watching everybody else do their coaching business or the way they write books or the way they speak on podcasts. And we can get in our head and we start to pull back and not be as bold. So can you speak a little bit into that? Like, you know, what kind of advice do you have for women listening that maybe are like, I would never have the courage to go to an event by myself?
Oh, you're right. I can see that. And I agree that, I think to be able to be alone is a skill that's rewarding, even in just everyday life. But then to step outside of the norm and to be vulnerable to what's planned for you requires a little flexibility. But once you exercise that muscle, it becomes like something you want more of, because it can be exciting to try the new things that you realize may have been intimidating before. Once you step into them, you grow, you become more of a more beautiful version of yourself. And then you can step forward into something else and help someone else who maybe is where you were. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the growth process, and being able to say, well, what's next for me? And forgetting those things that are behind, I press on, because we're never going to finish everything. It's going to be, we have to finish what's important, but then move into what's next.
Yeah. And I think what you're saying too, is that you build trust in yourself, right? So you prove to yourself, I can do that. Now I not only able to do other things like that, but I also am capable of teaching another woman who might be three steps behind me how she can do that.
Yes.
So this whole life coaching thing, you know, it's a huge, huge industry right now. There's a massive wave going with it. I mean, it's really building momentum. And now, you know, what somebody might have said a few years ago, like, what exactly is a life coach? Now everybody knows what it is. So why did you get into life coaching?
I think that it came out of working in women's ministry, doing Bible studies, and realizing over time that I was doing more than discipling through that. I was doing coaching. I was training people what I'd learned. I was asking powerful questions that get them to dig deeper into the why behind whatever they're stuck with. I really loved learning about retraining your thoughts. And that's a biblical concept.
Yeah.
So being able to harness that and say, well, how do we do that? How do we get unstuck? And then what I see and what's kept me going and working towards in the coaching direction that got me headed there was seeing the aha moment of, oh, I get it now. Thank you for that. I can change this part of my life because I see that now. And so that's, to me, what fuels me to learn more and to, you know, continue my training. I learned about strengths coaching because I feel like we all need to know how we're built. Mm-hmm. So we know what tools we have, and coupling that with spiritual gifts is really in just showing a person what they have to work with.
Yes. So, yes, that's so good. So can you give us an example? So if somebody's listening, they're like, I know I do struggle with controlling and maintaining my thoughts, and I know that I can do this, but sometimes it becomes like, even though you know you should, or you are capable of doing it, you don't have the strategy for it. So what is something that when you have a client that is struggling with negative thinking, and I always talk about negative thinking as like mental clutter, but how, like for you personally, or how you teach it, either way you can answer, what are some strategies that you use in order to combat that?
I think the biggest strategy is to analyze the thought, to stop yourself from the negative cycle and just say, well, what thought am I actually thinking? Mm-hmm. Am I thinking that I have to hide this because, well, that's a thought. And so how does that thought line up with God's truth? So it all boils down to that. Is the thought I'm thinking serving me? Is it true? And how do we know if it's true? Well, how does that line up with what God says about me or what God says I should do? And let's just keep it that simple. So we complicate it with all of the, but, and the, oh, and the, you know, my history and all the things, and those things might be real, but they may not help us to move forward. So being able to analyze the thought, line it up with truth, and then make a decision about what we want to think, and then committing to that, revisiting it, writing it down, reminding ourselves, well, that's the truth I want to live in. And that's what will get me to my goals. That will get me to the life I'm trying to live. These other things are holding me back.
Yeah, so good. And writing it down is powerful. Mm-hmm. Just even flushing out our thoughts on paper. Sometimes you look at it and you're like, okay, this thought is ridiculous. You know, like thinking it, you can like get behind it. Yes, that's so true. This is really bad and on. But then you write it down and you're like, no, this is absolutely ridiculous.
Right. Yes.
It really is. I think that might be one thing that is really, okay, let me ask you this as a personal question. I kind of feel like people are struggling more with controlling their thoughts more than ever because of the constant digital consumption of other people's thoughts.
Absolutely. People don't get alone to think their own thoughts. Mm-hmm. And you're influenced by so many things that you do get confused even, well, what do I think? What do mm-hmm. I want to think? And it's not necessarily because you can't take everyone else's thoughts. You can't take their problems, their perspective, their worries on yourself. We don't have big enough shoulders for that. So how do we just get alone to say, well, what's my perspective? And why do I believe what I believe, you know, about truth, about life, about my family, about my house, about my things? So
yes,
you're right. It's too much. So taking a digital fast now and then is wonderful, or just getting off certain channels completely if they just make you have too much comparison and difficulty, or for a while, that just helps reset why you're there and why you're consuming that.
Yes. So it's funny to me that this conversation's all kind of building blocks, because in order to be bold, right, in our purpose, in our assignment, we have to control our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't be listening to all the negativity. We can't be listening to everybody else's thoughts. And then on top of that is to really know ourselves and who we are, how God made us. Because when you know yourself, then it's easier to control your thoughts. It's easier to be bold with your thoughts. And we don't have to criticize everybody else if they don't agree with us. Who cares? Because we know ourselves. I think that's so funny with social media. Everybody's afraid to be bold because they don't want to be canceled and they don't want to be, you know, everyone to judge them or all the hate comments. But then, so they almost, we're all, instead of being bold up here, we're all starting to do this.
And everybody's saying the same thing. Yeah.
Everybody's saying the same thing. Everybody's acting the same way. Everybody's afraid to go a little up here, a little down there. And it's just like so boring. But if we're bold, it tends to be like, wow, if I'm bold over here, then maybe I give you the courage to be bold over there, right? Because I'm showing an example of mm-hmm. being bold and being okay and vulnerable enough to be like, I don't care if everybody agrees with me. But on right. the flip side, if somebody's over there being bold, why do I care? Let them do that mm-hmm. because we don't know what God's calling us each to do individually. And mm-hmm. I feel like that's where we all feel like we're supposed to slap everybody else's hand if they don't agree like us now. And it's that's the part of social media that I absolutely cannot stand. So yeah. I love this. And I think that goes back into being uniquely yourself, which is exactly how God made you. And so everybody that's listening, if you receive that right now, I encourage you to be uniquely yourself wherever you are, because somebody's watching you and they're going to be like really proud of you and really encouraged by you, because if you can be bold and unique over there, then I can be bold and unique here. Right?
Absolutely. Yes. We're not in high school. We're not in cliques anymore. We don't have to conform to the little tiny group just for acceptance.
Yes.
We need to say, this is how God made me. I'm going to shine my brightest.
Yes.
In my unique way. I love that word. And just really see who needs that, who is attracted to it, who in different chapters, we're going to have different versions of ourselves. And so to be able to just say, that's okay. That's what I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not to keep harping on the focus retreat, but that is the one thing that stuck out to me, is that everybody was really being uniquely themselves, I felt, and nobody was intimidated by it. That's what made it beautiful.
That for sure. I felt that. And I my take on that is, I feel like it was because we were there for a short time. Mm-hmm. Nobody was there to change anyone.
Yeah.
We were there to say, okay, this is who I am. This is what I bring to the table. How can I learn from the trainings? You guys had some excellent trainings. I still reference my notes. I love it.
Thank you.
And just to be able to say, how can I add to who I am? But we're not here to conform, but we're right. here to grow.
Right. Which is so important at any live event, or even if you are working with a coach, you really mm-hmm. do have to know yourself enough to look at it as like a sifting. Like, I'm going to keep some of this and I'm going to let some of this go. Mm-hmm. Or even if you're reading a book or listening to a podcast, we don't have to conform to everything one person says. We can say, this works for me, this doesn't. So mm-hmm. I love that approach. So there's so many things to talk about, but one of the things that I love about you is, even in your bio, it says that, so you obviously coach people with their businesses and their purpose, but you also encourage them on the home front. And I was reading a book today and it was really interesting right before I got on. And it was saying how entrepreneurship, marriage, and parenting is like basically all the ways that we can feel unworthy at times. Like, it stretches us, right? We'll be like, oh, I'm not the, you know, I should be a better mom. I should be a better wife. I should be a better business owner. And I think that's part of it. I think entrepreneurship to me is very much like parenting and marriage, where it's pulled me out of my comfort zone so many times and pushed me to have to learn a new way. And so that is all the part that we did talk about at Focus, about the integrated life. And you as a coach, you're not just coaching on one facet of a woman's life. You are really trying to encompass everything. And when I saw the words on the home front, I wanted to ask you, because to me, it all goes hand in hand. You can't coach on just one thing. You can't just coach somebody on business, especially for women. So how do you integrate coaching when it comes to the home front?
What I like to do is make sure we don't let something slip through the cracks. So we do an analysis of, like, well, all the different areas of your life that are, you know, kind of like active right now, that are in the forefront. Coach and talk about passions and pursuits, what you're interested in, hobbies, mm-hmm. Yes, family life, finances. And what's neat about life coaching is it's very fluid. So if something comes up next week that wasn't there last month, we'll talk about that, because that's now really important. That's something that we need to deal with. And so to be able to say, okay, how is this working? How can you get some help with that? And just to be able to say, it is all related. Women especially, all of our things are related, mm-hmm. and we can't really put it in a box. And I don't think we're supposed to, but we can isolate each part and talk about it and see, you know, are you better now trying this path than you were before? Are you making your own personal progress? Because that's all you can judge yourself against. Nobody's story is identical to somebody else's. Even if you have similar circumstances, you have different you have different set of tools. You have different outlook. You have different end game according to, you know, what our path is. So are we just maximizing what we have to work with and be able to see where those stuck areas are? Because if you're stuck in an area, that becomes like the 90% focus. You can't even get further in your business or your family or your home if you're stuck on this. It becomes consuming. So if we can work through that and get you know, that on a good trajectory, then we can kind of get back to some stasis with other things. So
it's so true. You do get stuck on one thing. And then it's funny because then the other things kind of fall to the wayside. And what we really want to do is keep, you know, everything within balance as much as possible so that we don't feel like we're excelling over here, but we're failing over here.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think I've learned a lot that I can share. I don't call myself a recovering perfectionist, but striver maybe is a better word, because I feel like I always beat myself up for not finishing things. But we sometimes just have to release things and say, that's okay. It doesn't need to be, everything doesn't need to be tied up in a perfect little bow to have a happy life. Mm-hmm. And if we wait till everything is perfect, we'll be dead.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true. So tell me a little bit about how you used to struggle with like perfectionism and striving.
I think because my thoughts go back to being an artist. I've done a lot of art teaching over the years. My personal art, I studied graphic design and would do a lot of fine art, but sometimes I would start some projects that I was very motivated for, and then I wouldn't finish them. And that would be the first thing I would tell somebody about, like, I can't even finish this. I can't even finish that. And that's just me beating myself up and sharing my misery instead of saying, I did this, I'm really pleased with it, and realizing that not everything is going to happen to completion.
Yes, so true. And sometimes we're supposed to do the beginning, and this is not to encourage people to procrastinate.
Right.
This is not what we're doing here. But I'll give you a perfect example. This is a perfect example. I was writing a book and I was like, this is my next book. You know, all in, I think it was 70% finished. And all of a sudden God said, no, you're writing this book over here called Purpose Over Possessions. Perfect. And I completely stopped writing the first book, wrote the other book. And I actually self-published, which is a whole long story, in which I normally don't self-publish. I had a publisher for many years, and it was because it was a Christian-based book. And I thought, and my old publisher said, no, we're not writing Christian books, so I ended up self-publishing. Then COVID happened and that book turned into the book behind me, Make Room. So it was so funny. It's just like, that was an unfinished project, that first book, but it's clear I wasn't supposed to be writing that one. And so now I can honestly say that Make Room is probably the best book I've ever written. And it's the most personal book, but it's also that has the strongest message. And will I ever pick up the first one that I was writing? Maybe, maybe not. But I haven't even like considered finishing that project ever since I saw the fruition of the first one or the last one. So I think that there's times when we might be heading down the road thinking we're supposed to make a right turn, and all of a sudden God is like, no, we're making a left turn. Just give up on the right turn. It's just not happening right now. And that's what we're talking about. That's okay to do. But I also feel like you have to really know yourself in order to know when you can let stuff go, right? Yeah. And let it be, and not just, and not sit there and beat yourself up over it being unfinished.
Right. Yes. I think it's a reality check, and it's an intentional taking it off your to-do list. Like say, I learned some things from that. And that's what I just heard you say. You learned from that first writing. Mm-hmm. You yourself, you know, became further down your path because of going through that draft. And so that's what we get to take away. I learned from that. I grew from that. I can set it aside, and maybe I'll pick it up someday, and maybe I won't. And that's okay.
Right. One of the things that just hit me when you were saying that, Ginger, is that you said you made a choice to take it off your list.
Mm-hmm.
You got to choose. So that's one thing too. We get to choose what we put on our to-do list. We get to choose what we take off our to-do list. And the cool thing about choice is in any given moment, we get to choose differently, which is very empowering. So I think that's part of it. It's different than saying, I didn't finish that. I'm, you know, slacking because I didn't finish it. And it's a much more powerful statement to say, I choose not to do that right now.
Mm-hmm.
It feels totally different. So let's talk a little bit, you know, when we're talking about the home front and integrating that into being, you know, a businesswoman or a mom or a wife and all the things that we have, all the balls in the air. For me personally, I notice a lot that it is, there's a common thread under there that we ask for things. We want all the things, right? We want the multiples, like the house and the kids and the marriage and the business and all the opportunities. But then sometimes we complain about it, right? It's too much. And I hear that a lot. Like women are overwhelmed, they're stressed out, they're tired, they're frustrated. And I have to really bring some tough love and say, but you asked for this, right? You prayed for this.
Yes,
you did. And to me, it's all about stewardship. And I really feel this strong urge to say to people, be careful what you're praying for, because when God delivers, it is going to require stewardship. Mm-hmm. Whether you're praying for millions of dollars in the bank or a bigger house or a stronger marriage or, you know, your kids to be successful, it requires stewardship. It does. To me, absolutely. Stewardship is taking care of the blessings God gave us.
Mm-hmm.
So can you speak a little bit about what stewardship means to you, Ginger?
I totally agree with you. Full alignment with that, because it is, it's taking care of what God's given us, what he's put on our plate, and mm-hmm. to stop looking around at the Joneses, and because we've got plenty to do in front of us. We've got plenty to attend to. And then that goes along the same line. And you probably tell your clients this too. Once you release something, you really don't miss it. So if there's too much in front of you that you're taking care of, what can you release?
Yeah.
And that way you can spend better focused attention on being a good steward of what's in front of you. You can't be a good steward of a warehouse. Your house is not a storage unit. That's one of my favorite decluttering phrases.
I love that. Your house is not a warehouse, people. I love that. I haven't heard that. That's a good one.
Yes. Yeah. So I think that keeping it trim allows you to be a better steward, because you can see what you have. We had a very short excursion with an RV ownership, like very short. I don't think anybody's owned an RV for a short amount of time.
How short? Because I have always dabbled in the thought of getting one.
I think a total of 8 weeks.
I love it. What did you learn about that?
Well, we learned that it was not the right time for us.
Okay.
But we have some fun memories of it. And it was not the right time because it was going to cost us more money because it was part of a rental program that we owned it, but other people got to rent it. But then other people fixed it. And oh my, we got in. We're like, oh no, we're getting out. We took one trip with it across country. I don't know, 5,000 miles to and from. The day we got in it, my husband got COVID. We're on the road. We both got all three of us.
My goodness.
We were RVing with COVID, but, am I allowed to say that?
Oh yeah, you are on this show.
but we knew it was not just, it was fun. It's fun to laugh about now. Of course it was a trial at the time, but when we knew it was time to release it, we were glad we weren't a steward of that anymore because it wasn't the right time for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so maybe someday we'll have another one someday. Maybe.
But you made a choice. Right. Mm-hmm. You said, I don't choose this right now. I choose not to be an RV owner.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny. Josh always, he says, we're going to just do that like cross country RV trip one time in our life. And I was like, am I cut out for this? I don't know.
Maybe rent one first.
Yes. I don't know. Yeah. We'll see. But I feel like it really does. Like when I think about women having all of these things that they want to accomplish right now. And I feel like we do live in a generation where we see everything is possible. Like we all agree now. We know that. We know everything is possible. But what do you feel? I feel like a major shift is happening with women. What do you see with the clients that you're coaching and stuff? Like what are the two or three main things that you think women really need or want more of right now?
I agree. I mean, I love what you do because I feel like it integrates all being able to take actionable tips on decluttering helps you see your own life. So women need to see their own life. Mm-hmm. we need to be able to boil it down to, am I maximizing what I'm doing in my space? Because yes, anything is possible, but not everything. We still have to, you can't do everything at once. Nobody's capable of that. So we have to say, yes, I could do all these things, mm-hmm. but what am I working toward and what's my why? And so what I like to do with my clients is analyze the life chapter that they're in. And then we can really say, well, what's important to you in this life chapter? Mm-hmm. Because everything can't be equally important all the time.
Right.
Or we run ragged. So being able to say, well, this is what I'm doing for now. And here's why. Maybe it is owning an RV. And here's why. This is why we are doing this right now.
Yeah.
And to zone in on that and just say, okay, what are the parameters of that? Because if I'm owning an RV, we're traveling, we're not owning all the Christmas decorations that I would like to own. Mm-hmm. We can't. And that's okay. We have to set those guidelines and say, that's okay in this life chapter. And I feel like that's freeing because you can say maybe in a different chapter. And that allows you to not say no forever,
yes.
but just say not right now. That doesn't work for me right now.
Yes. I love that. So are you saying that women really need to be a little bit more content in the current chapter?
Bloom where you're planted is like what the age old saying, mm-hmm. but doesn't that simplify it? Because it does exactly what you just said, content in their own chapter and being their best in that. So that when they look back on that chapter, they can say that they did their best in that chapter and mm-hmm. not wish they had maximized something that can never come again. Maybe, you know, having young children in the house, how can you maximize that chapter? Because it won't come again.
No. I'm feeling that big time this year. I mean, with the two in college, the last couple of months, there's been, oh my gosh, Ginger, so many aha moments and like downloads and almost full circle moments of things that I was thinking or wanting to pursue that I can literally attach to that time period before I was a mom. And then I feel like it just stopped. I've been an entrepreneur the whole time I've had children, but there's some things that I almost feel like God was like, we're putting that on a shelf right now, but mm-hmm. I didn't know that I was. So I did all these other things, but now there's things I can pick back up because I'm not in the chapter of focusing every day on the kids. So even though I'm still wildly focused on my kids, I have more free time. I'm not running to sporting events every night. And I can go back to, what does Jennifer want? Who is Jennifer? Away from the kids. And so I think that that's really cool because we don't think that the chapters of life are going to go as fast as they actually go. Mm-hmm. And so for women that are listening right now that might feel like, I want to do all these things, but I have these little kids. Don't wish it away because that chapter goes way faster than you think. And it's not like once your kids are out of the house, life's over. You have lots of time to live those other chapters that you might have put on the shelf. Mm-hmm. And I'm really finding that to be true right now. And I want other people that are, you know, way ahead with, or behind, I should say, with kids, that happens quickly. And all of a sudden you're like, boom. Okay. I mean, have you felt that at all? Because your son right now is what, 21?
Yes.
So
yes.
Same age as my daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, so, absolutely. And our daughter is 7. Yeah. So, watching her just lost her second front tooth this past Sunday and remembering those days with our oldest and just realizing, that those 14 years, bam, gone. Okay. And the same kind of rolls over as I think about what you're saying about stewardship, with stewarding those moments, those years that you have to influence those people in your house. And then looking at that too, switching gears to the business thought and realizing when you're in a section of business and you look at people further down the road than you, who've had maybe more years in business or more connections that have gotten them in a different direction faster, to still say, but I have to steward what I have in this chapter of my business. I can't live, 10 years down the road and then I will miss the things I'm supposed to learn in these foundational days.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. Obviously hindsight's 2020, but when I think back on those chapters in my life that I wanted to rush through, some of those chapters still stick with me more than other chapters. So, and I think it's because there was major growth going on. That's why I wanted to rush through it. because it was annoying or discomfortable.
Right? I totally hear you. Yeah. We want to rush past the hard growth part. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
let's get to the plateau.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. And it reminds me too, like back to full circle, back to where you're at right now, being in a new city in a new place. When I did start to embrace living in North Carolina and I got past the culture shock of like, okay, New York, Florida, North Carolina, very different places.
Very different.
I had about a year where I really didn't feel like I had close friendships, and it bothered me so much because I was like, I could still be in New York with my good friends from high school. I could still be in college or Florida with my good friends from college. Why did I come here? And I had to be stuck with myself. And I feel like that was a time that God really, really set me up for what I was going to do in my career that I had no idea I even wanted to do. Because I was quiet, I was alone, I could listen, I had time to like sit in coffee shops and read books and journal with my Bible. And like, I had nothing else to do. And so I wanted to fast forward that chapter, but I can't tell you, Ginger, how many times I've gone back to that chapter and said, I got it now. That's really what changed my life, really. Mm-hmm. So very, very, very cool. What else? Is there anything else you want to wrap this up with? Like, what do you want to say? And obviously after that, just let the audience know how they can work with you or reach out to you.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, we covered so much. We could talk all day though. I mean, these topics go on and they go deeper. And I think that that's what's neat about realizing how we have similar struggles with things, and then they just have different labels on them. And so as we bring them to the surface, they don't feel as big. And that's why I love talking it out, journaling it out, but then just letting it out so that somebody can say, oh, I dealt with that too. And here's how I did it. Mm-hmm. And then you can feel empowered. You can see the path and to be able to connect. And certainly, you know, the focus retreat was a great connection. Realizing we all need connection. That's something I didn't used to think I needed when I was in my 20s. And if you're one of those people who don't think you need women in your life, maybe that will change. And maybe you'll be blessed to realize that having those people around who can speak something into your life that maybe you didn't see will just make you better and grow. So I think that realizing that we all are on growth journeys, as uncomfortable as they may be or not. But then looking back at those times fondly is, I think that's just one of the things the Lord shows us in maturity, to be able to say, thank you for those times. Thank you for those rough times. Because I grew, because I treasure the sweetness of it now, of what I learned, or the relationships of those who were with me through that fire.
Yes. So good. Yay. So good. So you have a website, ambassadorvision.com, right?
Yes. It's my umbrella hub. Yep.
And they can work with you as you do group coaching, you do one-on-one coaching. Where are you on social? Are you on Instagram?
Yes, Ambassador Vision on social, or Ginger Lee Myers, my full name.
And is that your full name? Ginger Lee?
Ginger Lee Myers. Yes.
I love that so much. I did not know that.
I thought about calling it Ginger Lee Coaching, but then it's L-E-E. So it's not spelled.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. That's cool. So,
I have a great gift for all your people, because in my years of coaching, I've really found that it comes down to questions, asking the right questions. So to be able to sit, even ask these of ourselves, to do a little self-coaching to get past some hurdles is so helpful. So I compiled it in a PDF, 27 powerful questions that Christian women can ask to get through scheduling issues, goals, and just hurdles. So that's a download that they can find. That's a different address. That's coachginger.training.
Okay. Coachginger.training for that free gift. Well, thank you, my friend, for coming.
Oh, my goodness. This was a blessing. Thank you for having me. It was great fun.
So good to see your face and just chat. And like you said, we could chat all day. So I truly appreciate you. And I thank you for coming on the Make Room Show. And I just appreciate all of you listening today. So if you love the show, don't forget to leave us a review. Make sure you reach out to Ginger if you'd like to work with her. And until next time, keep making room for the things and the people that matter the most.